open up with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we thank you. What a powerful song that is. Is there room in our heart? That is something that only us as individuals can ask. That is nothing that we can take advice, nothing that we can make somebody else make us think or learn or do, but that's our own personal decision that we must answer. We must examine the state of our heart, the state of our soul, to know if that includes you, to know if we've set aside the things of this world, we've set aside the things that we think we hold so high and mightily to make room for you. So I just pray tonight that we may use this as a good reminder. We're all here gathered together for one purpose, and that is just to celebrate your birth. So I thank you. I just ask tonight that if there's anybody in here that needs to just re-examine the state of their soul, if it's a decision that they have may not have made yet to follow you, to accept you as their Savior, that they may do that tonight. And for others, maybe it may be a time of rekindling that relationship with you and be able to just move the things over in their heart and start writing a story for you. What an action adventure story that will be. We just pray that you join us tonight, that you allow us just to be encouraged, be built up, that we may take your words that you've written down for us and that we truly may take them to heart. So when we leave and we go through our day-to-day and we go through our life that sometimes seems so monotonous that it just, you can just speak to us. So we just thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So what is Christmas? That's the age-old worldwide question, is what is Christmas? And that is something that no matter how many times we think that or ask ourselves that, it always seems to mean something different every year. It depends what you're doing in your life at the time. It depends on the problems, the situations, the good things, the bad things, all of that stuff mixed together. It depends on what's going on. And tonight we want to look at the answer of, like I said, what are we here for? What is the reason? What do we celebrate today for? What is the reason? Because the world likes us to take our things and take our eyes off of the focus of what Jesus is. That is what we're here for. And just some statistics that, and this is not, I buy presents for my children and my family and stuff. I'm not putting any of that down. But it's just, when you read or listen to that song about, is there room in your heart? And you read some of these statistics, you wonder, who has the most room in the hearts of the people? The global market for Christmas decorations was estimated to be $6.8 billion in 2021. The forecast is to grow to surpass $9 billion by 2026. In 2023, the value of holiday shopping in the United States alone is predicted to reach almost $1 trillion. So then, my mind, because we've all heard the trillions and trillions of debt that this nation has and all the problems with the word trillion, how long would it take to spend $1 trillion if you spend $5,000 every day? If you spend $5,000 each day, it would take 200 million days to spend that money. It would take 547,946 years to spend that at the rate of $5,000 each day. And our nation is going to spend that collectively in 1 year on just Christmas alone. So, obviously, Christmas is good. Christmas does very good things. I don't ever want anybody to have the idea that all Christmas is bad and you get the legalistic view and start shutting things of the world off. But what an awesome opportunity Christmas is that we're gathered together. That you're with your family, you're able to be around those who mean something special to you. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but it still puts you in a room and in a house with them. And it allows you the opportunity to speak the name of Jesus. What an excuse to do that. If you've been looking for an opportunity to be able to do that, now is the perfect time. We have an awesome excuse that our world that they want to use and take it and make it not say anything about Jesus. We have the perfect excuse to say something about Jesus because of Christmas. So it's a special time of year for any of you that have been looking for the end or the right thing to say to a parent, to a spouse, to a relative, to something about Jesus and about your relationship with him. Now's the time. This is the perfect time. So Christmas, Jesus' birth, what is the importance of it? Why did it have to happen? That's the number one question that you should ask yourself And you need to know if you know the answer to that question. What was the point of Jesus leaving heaven, coming to a sin-filled earth as a baby in a manger? What was the point? Why? What was the purpose? So we have Luke. We're going to read just, and it'll be a story that you've all heard through songs, through children singing, whatever it may be. But Luke chapter 2, we're going to just read through verse 20. And it'll walk us through our story. And Eric's got it on the board for us. So if you want to follow along, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census must be taken of all that inhabited on earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census. Each to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and family of David. And that is a scriptural thing. The lineage of Jesus coming from the line of David. David was an earthly king, so that ties things in there. So in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So verse 8, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good news, or I bring you good news and great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was laying in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it wondering at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So what is the purpose? It's to bring the good news, just like it said in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." What do we need the good news for? Because that's something that if anybody's ever explained the gospel message of Jesus Christ to you, they can also say, "Well, it's the good news. There's good. What is it? Well, what is it good? If I need something good, doesn't that mean that there must be something bad?" So that's our question, is what is the purpose? If these angels come to say they have brought something good, what is it that is bad, that we need something offset and good? So we look at something, and you can turn to Romans, or just hold your place, and we'll go to Romans chapter 3, and I'll just read it. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may be accountable to God." Okay, so that's a key. All of us. Not just the certain people. Not just those people who are in prison. Not just those people who are bad. Not whoever, but everybody. Right? "That the world might be accountable. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So we as human beings, we have knowledge of sin. You and I know when we do right. We know when we do wrong. We know when we cause problems. We know when we do things that are not right. And God, being a perfect, all-knowing, powerful, holy, righteous God, can have no part of sin. So here we have this law that was established, and just think of the Old Testament law, was established, and why there's rules, laws, and regulations. Somebody involved, because the world may be accountable to God. Then we look at verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and I. That's everybody. So here we have this perfect God, and here we have sin. So here we have a problem. We have God, and we have sin. Who is entrapped and entangled in sin? Well, the Bible just told us everybody. All of us. There's nobody chosen that's special. There's nobody elected that's special. There's nobody better than you that can't sin, and you do sin, and whatever. There's none of that. There's a separation from mankind and God because of this thing called sin. So, if we have an all-loving, all-knowing creator that created us for a purpose, because he's a creator, that's what he does. He creates things. He created you and I for a purpose, for his pleasure, for a relationship with him. How is he going to have that relationship with us if we have that problem in between? We have sin. We have a problem. So what happens? God says, sorry, human race, you guys are too big of a screw-up. You're a mess. I can't help you. You can't help yourself. Sorry. No, what happens? He sent his son for us to be born, to live a life. Why did he have to live a life? Why did he have to be born to do that? Couldn't he just come down and take care of the problem right there? What did he have to live a life for? To give us so many examples, but what else? So he could empathize with us. So when you say, sorry, God, you don't understand, I'm going through this problem that's way bigger than what you can imagine. This problem is bigger than anything in my life. I can't do this. You can't expect me to do this. Jesus says, yeah, but remember me. I walked on this earth. I had problems. I had relationships with people that were hard. I had people that didn't like me. I had people that abused me. I had people that made me into a person that I wasn't. I did all that. So you can do all that. So he lived a sinless, blameless life for us. Then he goes to the cross. What we celebrate is Resurrection Sunday, or in Easter and Resurrection Sunday. He goes to a cross and he says, okay, God, here we have the human race. Here we have people that are full of sin. Sin is a problem. We know that. Almighty, perfect God cannot have anything to do with sin. So Jesus says, hey, see all these people? I will go on their behalf. Jesus left heaven, an all-perfect, awesome environment, left heaven, came down to earth, which is ugly, filled with sin, to be live an awesome life for 33 years, partying and having a blast and doing all these fun things and doing whatever. No. It was a hard life. But he did that for us. When he went to the cross, when he went and he was beat, he was spit upon, he was shamed, he was hung there naked on the cross, and he didn't say anything. Didn't say anything to them. When the one thief on the cross said, don't you call down your legion of the angels and have them save you? He could have, and he would have did more than that. He could have wiped them all out at the same time he did that. But he chose not to, because if he didn't do that, the blood that he shed on that cross would not have wiped out the sin in the world. It would not have made the ransom payment. We think of a ransom payment, if somebody gets kidnapped and somebody's on the phone, they're calling, hey, I want $1 million to let this person go. That's the same thing that the blood that Jesus shed on that cross did. It was a ransom for what? The sins that you and I commit every day and that we will continue to commit. That was what the blood was shed for. That's the importance of it. That is the whole reason that Jesus Christ came to earth. Because there was a problem. He's a problem solver. He came to fix your problems. He came to fix my problems. He came to fix the problems of the world. Even for those people who reject him. Who reject what he did. That's who he came for. We were on his mind. So when that song, that's such a powerful song, is there room in your heart? It's a personal question. Because what will your story look like? If you think you want some awesome Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn action adventure Invite him in. Invite him in. A relationship with Jesus is not a monk sitting on a hill ringing a bell. That is not what a relationship with Jesus looks like. Invite him into your heart. Ask him to help you through your day. Ask him to help you with your problems. Invite him in on your good things that you do. Thank him for the things that we have. We're sitting and look at where we sit. Look what we do everywhere. The United States spends $1 trillion a year on Christmas presents. That means we're all pretty flush. Whether our bank accounts show or not, but in reality, we're all pretty flush compared to the majority of the world. Do we thank him for that? Do we use this opportunity as a day of remembrance for him? Isn't that what a birthday is for? When somebody gets a birthday every year, that's what Christmas is. Is a day of remembrance that we appreciate the reason that somebody came. I appreciate my little girls' birthday because God gave them to me, and that's one more year that I get to continue to watch them grow, and I'm thankful for it. Am I thankful for the birth of Jesus, for his birthday? Because it means more to me than, not that I don't love my girls, but far more than what that love could even look like. So, we have, we read that in verse 23 of Romans, it all falls short of the glory of God. But then, here's where Jesus steps in verse 24. Being justified as a gift. So here we have our gifts. That Jesus came to us as a gift. Any of you, when we do our Christmas exchanges, and somebody hands you a gift, do you hand them money? Do you purchase it? Do you work for it? Do you do anything? Or is a gift a gift? A gift, we freely reach our hand out and we take it. That's what a gift is. That is what Jesus Christ did for you. He came down here to give you a free gift. It cost him everything. It cost us nothing. That free gift, I can't work for it. I can't say, Jesus, I appreciate you coming down, hanging on a cross, leaving heaven, that perfect environment. I really do appreciate it, but you didn't quite do enough. I got to work, or I got to write a check to the church, or I got to give a bunch of poor people money, or I got to do this, so that way it can complete the work that you did on the cross. That wouldn't be a free gift then, would it? There's nothing that you and I can do to fix that problem between God and sin. There's nothing we can do. Mankind, we are used to fixing things. We are used to solving our problems. We are used to doing things. And so often that gets in the way. And we say, no, God, I got this figured out. I can do this better than you can do it. I can accomplish this on my own. We do not invite him into our hearts. We do not invite him into our life. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. Why are we reading that on Christmas? Sin is what locks us in a house. Have this as in captivity. Sin is what puts us in there. Our captor is Satan. Satan is the one who God created to, as an angel, that his pride and arrogance got in the way. He rejected the reason that God created him. And God says, okay, you think you can do a better job? You have free will. I'm not your puppet master. You have free will. Go ahead and try it. See what you do. See what you can accomplish. See what you can make work. Here we have our problem. We, by choice, we have no choice of sin. We are born with sin. Clear back from Adam, in the beginning of creation, we are born with sin. We don't have that choice. That sin binds us in that house. We are locked in that house. Cannot get out. If you are trapped and held for ransom in a house, tied up on a chair, could you get out of that chair if you wanted to? No, because obviously you wouldn't be there because you don't want to be there. What Jesus did, Jesus came into that house and he binds the strong man. How did he do that? He rose from the grave 3 days later. Death had no power over him. He put Satan and he said, no, you are no longer in control. He took our chains and he unbound us from that chair. The thing though that he did not do, he did not pick us up and carry us out that door. That has to be a choice that you all make. To say, Jesus, you were enough. I can follow you out that door. I can make the choice to say, yes, you saved me, and I will follow you out that door. That's a personal decision that takes room in your heart to make. Because otherwise, all we're going to do is we're going to stand up, we're going to look around that house, and we're going to go explore to the next floor and the next floor and the basement and see what's in there, and we're going to stay in that house. And we're not going to follow him out. We're going to be loosed running around in that house doing no good, but trapped in our sin. Sin is the whole problem. It's the whole, that's Christmas. It's sin. That's it. But what a great story it is that Jesus was able to look at us and say, you know what? You are worth it. I will come after you. He didn't have to, but he did. That's the reason for the Christmas celebration. That's the reason when you look in Luke chapter 2, you can throw that back up on the board if you want to. Luke chapter 2, and you look at verse 15, when he says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight. Let us go straight there, right now. I'm not going to get this information, and I'm not going to go around here and walk around here and do all this stuff like we tend to do when we have the answer. Go. Go straight there. If you don't have room for Jesus in your heart, go. That's what it's for. There's nothing that this world can give you that will replace him. There's nothing. It doesn't matter how much money you spend, how hard you try, whatever you think you can do, you're not going to where he says to go. Do what these guys did. They went. And then they said, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry. They went straight there in a hurry. And what did they do? They found him. They found Jesus. Sometimes in our life, in our day, in all our circumstances and situations, we look at and we say, God, that's not fair. You're supposed to be the Prince of Peace that was born. What is this? What are these problems? Do we take initiative of any of that by our own doings? Do we recognize sometimes that it takes us taking that step in that direction, that path, to go after him? Because we'll find him if we go after him. If you invite him into your heart, you will find him. Period. There's no excuses. If you have not found him, you are never looking. Change your course of direction. Jesus was God spelling himself out in a language that humanity could understand. That's why he came in a manger. So we could understand. Little baby Jesus, so soft and so sweet, one day would have nails pounded into his feet, tightly swaddled now in his mother's loving arms. One day he would wear a crown of prickly thorns. Small cooing sounds he now softly sighs. One day to his father he'll moan forsaken cries. Wise men bring to him gifts meant for a king. One day to a cross his life will painfully cling. Little baby Jesus, so soft and so sweet, came into the world so Satan he could defeat. In the bleak mild winter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. in the bleak midwinter long ago. Our God, heaven could not hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Enough for him whom cherubim worship day and night, a breastful of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him who angels fall before, the ox and the ass and the camel which adore. Angels and archangels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim thrown the air, but his mother only in her maiden bliss worshiped the beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can give him my heart. We're going to have the kids come up, and they're going to sing a few songs and read for us. So as we close, if I could say anything to anybody to evaluate and for me to take advantage of the opportunity to proclaim the name of Jesus, I would do it now. That he died on that cross, the blood that he shed was for you. There's no reason to wait. There's times, there's situations, there's circumstances, good and bad, that we all have. That life tends to just keep stringing us along. We're like that dollar bill you throw on a fishing line, and you just drag it, and you continue to keep chasing it and chasing it. That's what life does. That's what the American dream does. That's what this world does to us. It puts a veil in between us and heaven. It puts a veil between us and a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he chose to give himself up because the wrath of God was satisfied, he did not die. He chose to let himself go. The veil that tore in the temple from the top to the bottom allowed you and I an everlasting opportunity to have a relationship with our one God and our Creator. The blood that he shed was enough. There's nothing else that we need to do. There's no action. There's no deeds. There's no money. There's no anything that you can think of in our mind that could get you into heaven for a relationship with God. There's nothing. No matter what somebody tells us we have to do, no matter what our brains, the power that our brains and our minds hold and have is phenomenal. And the things that it make us think and the things that it can trick us into and the things that it can twist, it's crazy. It's simple. Jesus Christ is enough. The blood that he shed was enough. There's nothing more that we need to do. As we go into Christmas, we can all look at and say, this world is crazy. It's only looking wilder and wilder and wilder. Don't we want to make sure we have some things right? And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, saying, God, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I accept the fact that the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross was for me. That was enough. I get that. Thank you. You're now in his presence forever. That's the simplicity of it. But if you're okay with that and you want to go farther, I dare you to talk to somebody at Christmas with your family. I dare you to bring it up. There's one fact that we all have. We're all going to die. There's going to be a time that it's going to come. There's going to be a time that it's going to. Do you want to know that you stood before them holding the answer to what salvation is, and you never told them? Holidays and Christmases are perfect opportunities for you to proclaim the name of Jesus. That's what Christmas is for. It's remembrance that he was born for all the reasons we just covered, because he is enough. Sin's a problem. It's simple. We got a problem. He's the answer. It's that simple. And it's your own personal decision. Nobody can force you. The kids in here, we laugh at them. We say, we don't laugh at them, but we talk about youth group stuff with them. That just because your parents drag you to church, just because your parents said that you were a Christian, doesn't mean that you are. You need to own that relationship by yourself. That has to be your own personal decision. So as these kids are sitting in here and listening, that's a decision only you can make. Your mommy and your daddies can't make it for you. And it don't matter how old you are. You have to make that own personal decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because that blood that He shed was enough. That's the simplicity of it. It's that easy. Father, thank You for the opportunity that we have just to thank You. To come together as a church, to come together as brothers and sisters, and just thank You for the opportunity that You gave us to spend an eternity with You. We thank You for sending Your Son to be born and be placed in that manger. Just what a lowly place that You put Him in as a king to where He started. We just thank You. We just ask as we all go out of here, we go our separate ways, that You may challenge us these next few days around our family, when we're around our friends and those we love, that we are able to just speak Your name. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.